back and kick him, Max. We got a lot of shit to talk about.
The whole gang is here. Yeah, pretty exciting stuff, boys and gals. We have updates on the game, on events.
We're doing it.
We have to do it, man. Look at that shit, man. BlizzCon is coming back. Hell yeah. I mean, I don't know how you guys have been like feeling about this whole BlizzCon situation. Granted, you know, past events. We're not going to open that can of worms once again. But I feel this is exciting because at the very least for the majority of people who attended BlizzCon or watched online, that was like a quote unquote celebration of some of the stuff you loved over the years. And excitement for, you know, those cool cinematics, those cool, you know, arena championships and, you know, unveilings and reveals of all of that. And we kind of missed it. I mean, what they did online was...
I mean, it was kind of, all right, we get it. It's the pandemic. It kind of sucks. Everybody's in homes where you cannot actually meet up in big groups. Nah. It is what it is. And... I mean, the overall public reception that Blizzard has had in the last couple of years has been not the best. No. And we as content creators kind of felt it indirectly through how our content performed, how like the access to people that we normally have in game and how that kind of dwindled.
Yeah, no, it's clear that the hits were there and, you know, rightfully so. There was a lot of shit happening. That the game was kind of bad. You know, the people that were working there didn't have the greatest morale in the world. And everything just went to the toilet, right? Now, this is a confirmation from Mike Ibarra that BlizzCon is returning in 2023. I remember they did say in the past that they're going to take a pause and reimagine how everything worked out. I know that they have hired a BlizzCon lead or BlizzCon head, like manager or whatever, managing director, who has been taking care of like planning out everything. So it's gonna happen. Now, I don't know if this whole, you know, how do we call it to not piss off YouTube? You know, the Vito, the CEO Vito virus thing.
Rona?
I mean, I think Rona now is like caught on by YouTube. But regardless, you know what we're talking about. So events were heavily impacted by that, like live events, okay, where people could join in and stuff. So it's still under the question mark, although I know, at least in Europe, I've seen a lot of like open-air events, right? And even in-house, like a lot of like festivals, concerts and stuff. I've heard some rumors about a new strain of this that I honestly don't believe shit like that anymore, not to the extent I used to. I feel at some point, you know, even these gaming events have to like come back to some sort of form where you have people vibing in and pouring in their energy because...
People need that connection, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's... I know a lot of people want to go to BlizzCon. I know at least two people. Well, three if you count Lego. Don't forget about Lego. I think he wants to go as well. So... In light of a confirmation from the actual president of Blizzard Entertainment, we might see you guys there. I don't know.
It's basically we were planning on going to BlizzCon in 2020 when things happened, and that aside,
before things happened.
We were planning before things happened, but then things happened, and not only the things that made it impossible to actually meet up in big groups happened. There was also the what are we even going to see anymore? And by judging what has been announced and released in the last couple of years, BlizzCon probably wouldn't have been that exciting anyway. So maybe we didn't miss much. However, you can look at it as the glass half full now that Diablo Immortal is out and everybody knows exactly what it is.
That shit got shitted
and
out.
And over, you just like flushed it out. Now we're left with the good stuff. Don't know exactly what that will be. Obviously, by then we will have Dragonflight already out. Maybe even in 10.1. Maybe we'll already be in 10.1.
Well, okay, we can speculate on what could be depending. So we can say that, okay, maybe it will be in the same period as... previous BlizzCons were, and that would be in November 2023. By that point, in WoW, you couldn't see a new expansion, but I'm pretty sure you could see like how they did in previous ones, you know, the trailers for the patches, you know, the features and all of that, because it would be a little bit too early to just call out the newest expansion during that year, I think.
Well, maybe. Just speculating. Because we've speculated that the Red Dragonflight is going to be releasing in 2023. And now the deadlines are moving here and there, supposedly quicker. And if they're keeping to this schedule, because, I mean, we can speculate based on the facts that we have. If they're keeping to this schedule, then likely we're going to be almost at the end of 10.1, if not close to 10.2 already. And if it's coming in November, that means we'll probably get like 10.2 things, and maybe 10.2 is going to be a big patch like it was with 8.2, right?
Exactly.
Big Nashatar zone, big old NPCs brought back.
It's one of the things they kind of like slowly went out of making it right. And Ark has a good point. If they play their cards right, they can build hype for new patches. Then they used to do that. I mean, I used to be super excited for new patches.
Oh, like hell yeah.
I remember the trailers for 5.2 in Mist of Pandaria with, you know, the Thunder King and that little poem and stuff. That got me hyped as fuck, man. And there was that they used to do this quite good, right? Even if they didn't have necessarily a big expansion to announce or whatever, when they kind of like announced the patches with new features and changes and stuff, it was really hypey. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if they do play the cards right in terms of WoW, they can do a lot more. But you have to remember, there's still like a lot of other IPs that could go a long way.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to go into full retard mode here. And I'm going to say StarCraft 4 and WarCraft 4. If they're going to do something big.
If you're telling me that StarCraft 4 is coming out, listen, I'm going to like.
Yeah, I know.
Get hard. But listen, stop it.
I'm just going to put in the Microsoft acquisition going through, because it's going to go through before this BlizzCon. And
supposedly,
maybe,
BlizzCon is in November, yeah.
No, but the acquisition would be confirmed in the summer.
Yeah.
And Microsoft, as we've talked about here before, like they're big ass fans of strategy games. And I can see some sort of like, hey boys and gals, remember how we fucked up Warcraft 3 rehunged? Well, here's Warcraft 4, and it's gonna be a beauty. At least the trailer, something. Hey, and StarCraft, this is it's like the saddest thing that they kind of forgot about StarCraft.
Oh,
it's an IP that needs to get back in, man.
They need to pre-record Tex's voice and hear that one more time.
Yeah.
It's about time.
That would be amazing. Plus, okay, we can talk about, you know, Diablo 4, which is also going to be a big thing at that BlizzCon.
I was about to mention, I believe coming out in 2023, Diablo 4 is its release is going to be announced, because it's likely, from what we know so far, if I'm not mistaken, Diablo 4 is scheduled to release in 2024, right?
Yes.
They've kind of hinted that way. We constantly, I mean, I don't know if you guys are fans of Diablo 4. Obviously, we played Diablo on the channel a couple of weeks ago, although it was Immortal, and we had game-based videos on the Resurrected one, which we are big fans of, and we're currently actually both playing the Diablo 3 season.
Season 26, baby, hello!
So, suffice to say that initially when we planned on having a second channel, it was going to be a Diablo channel once
like
Diablo 4 was
enough.
We're so excited, man. We actually had, the channel already made, the logos and everything.
Logos,
like
banners, thumbnails, we're ready to do that shit 100%. So, big Diablo
suffice
fan.
To say, we're big fans of Diablo, and if Diablo 4 is coming out and it's not a big mess, and it might not be a big mess, obviously there's this perception of Diablo Immortal right now affecting Blizzard, and maybe we can also address that, because I'm seeing more and more comments about this in all of our videos talking about Dragonflight. Listen, guys, to my knowledge, and Marcia might correct me if I'm wrong, Diablo Immortal has almost nothing to do with WoW. First of all, there's two different teams managed by different people. They're different objectives, different strategies, different ways of processing. Not to mention, Diablo Immortal has been worked into conjunction with Neri's, right? Which is like totally separate. You seem to know some
Carry
shit.
On.
So before I say something stupid, I'm gonna pass the mic, man.
So I've seen those comments you're talking about, and yeah, there is an argument to be made that Diablo Immortal has a different development team, and yes, it was made in collaboration with NetEase. This does not excuse the fact that it was released under Blizzard's umbrella Blizzard's, you know, a strategy. And I get it. They needed a bigger cash cow for it. It's disgusting what they did with it. I'm not going to stay too much on it. I just wanted to make it clear. Diablo Immortal has a strategy and a direction that is very, very different from what a game like World of Warcraft would have. When we're talking about different teams, sure, they're different teams and they have different philosophies on developing a game.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about strategy, delivery, and direction, you know, you cannot say that a company like Blizzard has always had its way, it was only one-sided. there's a particular way of doing things and promoting things and implementing things for a game like Diablo Immortal, for a game like Diablo 3, for a game like StarCraft 2, and a game like World of Warcraft. This is why we're not worried too much about what is to come in terms of like how Dragonflight will be monetized or marketed or implemented on the market, because it's a different beast. It has its own life. It has its own legs. And whenever they try to like put new legs on it or, you know, change the course or whatever, they fucked up heavily. And we can see that at least in the last two expansions. So I'm not worried at all that a company like Blizzard has released Diablo Immortal and that will in some way impact negatively World of Warcraft. I cannot see that happening, again, in terms of like the gameplay implementation and marketing. You know, plus adding Microsoft to the equation.
Yeah, and you know what, man? Mm. I'm actually happy they released Diablo Immortal.
Yeah, because me too, because like, because just they shit that out, that bad food,
first
just
of all,
shit it out.
First of all, yeah, but the negative responses that they gotten, especially through the monetization system, also in conjunction or in parallel with the praises to the actual game that's, in terms of mechanics and whatever, a lot of people praise the actual game outside of the monetization system, definitely shown a very dark light on their idea of, you know, microtransactions, which obviously is going to kind of, to an extent, I would imagine, affect whatever monetization they decide for their other IPs. Clearly, Diablo Immortal is banned in a bunch of EU countries and some other countries for particular reasons, but I think the negativity that the game received is actually in favor of maybe every other IP, because obviously, all right, we're not gonna do the same thing to WoW or Overwatch or StarCraft or Warcraft or whatever they want, right? Because that would be silly. Obviously, like you said, it's a different platform, it works differently, it's catered to different kind of people, that's fine. Because it's a mobile game, it has almost nothing to do with a PC game. They're way different games and way different player bases play both of them, so that's fine. And if anything, the silver lining that I actually choose to look at, because I don't usually do this, but it can be a positive for us, since obviously, I mean, we're talking about microtransactions and WoW and all of that stuff and potentially having that improved over the years, but we also, like you mentioned, have Microsoft to do, and who knows how WoW and Game Pass are going to go together. And I think we talked about this before.
That's very, very speculative. And I think we gave Diablo Immortal too much attention. I think we can just close it off with this. But yeah, as a prospect for the future, Microsoft getting World of Warcraft into Game Pass would be huge. And that would be, if you think about it now, just like for Blizzard, having something like that would be a huge money loss, guaranteed. As with the current monetary model they have with World of Warcraft, how Blizzard usually tend to like, you know, go through those quarterly earnings bullshit and all of that. Microsoft, on the other hand, they like, first of all, Microsoft is interested on making money. It's a company. It's capitalism. Of course, they want to do that. Shareholders and whatnot. But Microsoft has its biggest earnings from like super advanced cloud solutions that are licensed to governments and stuff, and you know, not that much into gaming generates something, but from what I read through the lines, at least since 2014 moving forward with Phil Spencer on the head of Xbox, I've kind of like seen that for them it's going to be a big ass period, lots of years, when they're just going to invest and develop and invest and buy studios and just make like I think they want to become like the biggest gaming platform, or I don't know how to even call it anymore,
developers
out of all of them. And they don't, at least, again, guys, I'm going to give the example of the Age of Empires Remasters and Age of Empires 4. These games did not sell well. They did sell okay. They did not launch at a loss, don't get me wrong, but they weren't like blockbusters, like, you know, super millions from the first day or whatever.
There wasn't Diablo Immortal. Like
exactly. So, and Microsoft did not have a problem with that. They're supporting all of these games, and the amount of love and effort that you saw in the Age of Empires Remasters, man, it was like, come on. And they did not sell that much, man. That's the truth.
And really good games.
100%.
Really, really well, Mike.
Lovely. So, yeah, I mean, it's still speculative, because the purchase from Microsoft, you know, the whole buyout thing, it's still in the air, guys. We still have to, there's still a lot of things going through. But World of Warcraft on Game Pass, first of all, it would be huge for like, oh man, I cannot find somebody to play with.
Yeah, it's for the player base.
Let the gates open.
Obviously, when we're talking about monetization, sure, we can infer or speculate, but we don't actually know exactly what's going on and how, you know, having a game like World of Warcraft on the Game Pass is going to affect the whole overall Game Pass platform altogether. And if Microsoft is going to add WoW to Game Pass for whatever reason, I will not be surprised if they change how the game is developed. Maybe we will have seasons that we might have to purchase, but there's going to be no more subscriptions. Just going to have a Game Pass. We might have, you know, like season passes where you have next patches or whatever. Though I doubt.
Speculation.
That doesn't really work with WoW's content development, because if you don't buy it, you cannot play it then. But it's definitely anything. A lot more is on the table than maybe we know. So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. But I don't know. Somebody was saying in the chat that how do you know BlizzCon is back? It's basically confirmed by the Blizzard president, my man.
Yeah.
They are committed to bringing it back in 2023. So I don't think there's any stronger confirmation than the actual president of Blizzard Entertainment, right? How do you know? You know, Diablo Immortal is really good for gaming, and more governments are taking Diablo Immortal as how dangerous. But yeah, this is your point as well, right? It's a kind of good thing for like sounding the alarms. Do you guys think subscription would get out and it being a Game Pass subscription instead? This is very, very speculative again, but I can see it happening just judging by how Microsoft choose to do things and how they see their investment and their planning for the super long term. I don't think they're buying out all of these big ass studios, you know, just to make a quick buck. I don't see them doing that. They haven't proved to be doing that, at least for the last... 8 years when Phil took over like the gaming division there. So who knows? But I can see it happening, and it would be great. I would be down for it 100%. Salutes from Rome. Hello. Solo queue for PvP at all levels of rated ranking. Well, they are working on that. I know Brian Holinka is like, we have the solo shuffle, which is like pretty much the testing grounds for that shit. Mm-hmm. And they're working on that. I'm not just gonna like talk out of my ass, but there was some talk that at some point in Dragonflight, solo queue is going to be a thing. So like rated. So it's happening for sure. I mean, it took a lot of years, but regardless, it's there. It's on the table. What else do we have here, Flame?
Oh, are we done? A bunch of stuff happened. Well, next we can go in the season 4 news, right?
Oh, yeah. A bunch of seasons. Okay, so actual current present game. I would say good news. Because there are a bunch of them. What are we starting with? So we can look at the vendor currency earlier and adding ketchup. I mean, this is a big ass article. It's like, okay, we can read it above. There's not exact numbers over there. I don't know how much you guys are aware of how things will work in season 4. But you're going to basically have to do like these faded raids in order to like get this these dinars. And with these dinars, the dinar is a currency. You can buy targeted items from those specific raids that you're doing, right? This is going to be vendors for each raid. Well, what was it? It was Castle Nathria,
Sylvanas,
and
Sanctum and Sepulchre. Yeah. And you essentially are locked per character to 3 items. That's how much currency is going to be available to you throughout this to buy from the vendor. Whatever else we're going to be looting from the raid anyway. So that's besides the point. This is we've talked about this before. The changes in the loot is actually really good because they can actually use this faded loot system into future loot systems where hopefully we can get vendors for the items that we can aim towards instead of RNGing 6 months of raiding and not getting the Sylvanas daggers or whatever the spear. Because I had the spear in Sanctum drop in our last week of progression, by the way. That was...
I remember.
Amazeballs, not really. But that's exactly how it is, right? The loot system is clearly encountering issues in modern WoW, and they've tried a bunch of stuff that actually were good to their credit in Shadowlands by changing the loot, adding the vault, which definitely was an improvement. Shorten, like, you know, making the goddamn loot smaller so you don't have your 10,000 bags filled with 10,000 pants and boots. Remember BFA, man?
Because
you complete a lot. I actually like that add sets of items, but it did become a little bit crazy where your bags were all full with all types of items, right? Yeah. So they doubled down on that. They kind of squished that into Shadowlands and added the vault. So that was good. And now we're seeing another addition to the loot that hopefully can be tested and properly implemented into Dragonflight. I don't know if it's going to be in 10.0, but if we're going to have eventually vendors for gear, is going to be amazing. And basically,
yeah, this is a good system all around if you think about it. So just to underline what is to happen, like from what was initially posted, players clearing 10 faded bosses per week would acquire their season's limit of dinars, the currency used to buy faded raid items. We talked about this, by 6 weeks at the earliest. So they're going to lower the number of kills required on each quest such that it will land somewhere in the 4 to 5 weeks range instead. I think it was 40, 20, and 10.
I don't remember the exact numbers, but they're not using the exact numbers anyway. So if it's just going to be scaled down by time, I think numbers are all relative
but
right
just,
now.
But just for the people to know, so the first time you step into to season four, I cannot remember exactly. So for your first dinar, you're going to have either 30 or 40 kills, right, on these fetid race.
I think it was 60, 40, and 20, something or 60, like 40, and 30.
The first one is going to be like the quote-unquote hardest to get, right? The second one will be a lower number required, and the last one, the third one, because you can only get three dinars, right? So you can only target like three items. This is very important. No, you cannot like just gear yourself up with everything by killing bosses, and because you're still going to have like the vault, you're still going to have like the drop chances from the raid, so it's all going to be mixed and
it's a little bit
together.
More controlled, so it's pretty nice.
Yeah, we also heard a lot of feedback about how if you joined late into season four or had alt you wanted to play, you'd be met with a pretty large wall of quests and boss kills necessary to access the system. Very true, which felt like it ran counter to the lessons learned with the Creation Catalyst. Creation Catalyst was a brilliant idea.
It was really good.
Perfect.
And the catch up was exactly what we needed.
Perfect. Exact details to be decided, but after a certain period, we'll be heavily reducing the requirements for these three quests. So basically, what I said, right? These quests are, you know, the kills you have to get to achieve your dinars. Now, if they're going to lower this after, but I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks or a month after season four, that's all great. That's kind of like their usual pattern, right? Like towards the end of the expansion, we talked about this. They're just going to lower and lower and lower the gates so everybody can get in. And this was this specific point was feedback a lot on the forums and on social media that okay, season four looks interesting. It's definitely going to be something worth testing out and see how it could be molded for the future. But what if I'm going to join in after, you know, to 1 month or 2 months after the season launched? I mean, it's going to be hectic. Or if I, like we have alts and stuff, it's going to be hectic to go through all of those kills again and again and again and again and again. Lowering it might make it easier for more people to get in either late or with a lot of alts. So I think this is good news all around, like this sort of catch-up mechanic, right?
I mean, it's nothing new or nothing surprising. We didn't know, they didn't initially plan to have any catch-up for this, but it's good that they added it in. It was particularly inevitable considering that we're still going to, even if Dragonfly is going to be released this year, it's likely still going to be December at the very early, early December at the very earliest, actually. So we're still going to have to do this season four for a couple of months. And it's race that we've done before, even though the system has changed. So, you know, we cannot stretch this content for too long. Catch up is, it makes sense because then you have the people that's like, why am I farming this gear if in a couple of months we're changing the expansion, right?
Exactly.
But it's for fun, clearly. It's definitely for them to test it. And it's looking that if this can be a positive experience and a positive feedback, maybe we can move in the future in a couple of patches to a world where we actually have control over our loot to some extent and not just hope that in our vault of six item pieces choices we only get rings and boots.
Okay, let's see what chat has to say. Okay, good morning, Benjamin Funk.
Morning.
Solo queue for PvP. Okay, we sent that. So it works pretty well on League of Legends. Yeah, but League of Legends has totally different infrastructure. Yo, Professor Pearl, what up, what up? I've been waiting for this for ages. Upgraded raid loot. Yes. Anyone knows when uncapped honor points? We're going to get to that in a second, Mr. Matthew. Just hold on. I think we will get cross-faction queues for PvE. I think so. I think that's in the books. I mean, I don't... This whole cross-faction situation they started this time around, I can see that like
guilds. Definitely, they're not going to stop here. We talked about it. This is an experiment. It's a self-contained safe experiment where we can just play with the opposing faction in specific looking for group options. When it comes to queues, I don't see that as an issue. I mean, they've already started to test this, at least in PvP, with the mercenary thing that you can, you
know,
you can join the opposing faction's battleground as a whatever race for them. So it's not out of the question. It's definitely something that they're looking towards. So faction restrictions in terms of content access is going to slowly go away as the patches come out.
Man, it only makes sense. Rip alts, Danny DeVito, why though? This is basically helping the alts.
All of this is in favor of alts. It's a lot of catch up. It's good. To the extent that they will be applying it, we'll see exactly. Christian Catalyst was fine. Usually, when you go into a patch, into a new season, it takes about a month to actually put your like feet on the ground and move on. This is kind of how long it takes for people, for instance, to get the tier sets firstly through a natural progression, and then you can have the what we have now, Christian Catalyst equivalent, to actually access the systems, the loot, the quirks of the patch quicker, especially if you want to play alts, because there's no point in progressing again and again and again and again, especially when there's only a couple of months left.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a normal season where you have like new dungeons or new raids or whatever. It's basically, you know, the older ones with some affixes, so you're gonna get like burned out pretty fast. So I think this is like for the best. Let's talk about the currencies that are coming in season 4, which is very good news. And I hope this is not only for season 4. I hope they understand that this is good. We talked about this in many previous podcasts and on cooldown episodes and stuff. Just uncap the goddamn currencies, man. Just uncap them. It's fine. Yeah, it's not going to lead to any degenerate gameplay or whatever. You know what? I hate it. I always hated this about, you know, the WoW dev team. I love them to death, but there's one thing, you know, I hated about them. Don't tell me how to play the game. Let me decide. Let me make mistakes. Let me be a degenerate. Let me be a casual. Let me be a hardcore. This is an MMO. It's not a linear single player experience where, okay, I have to follow the path. No. If you're going to want me to play an MMO, let me play it the way I want to fucking play it. This is their problem.
This is why I believe one of the key reasons as to why the game became popular in the first place back in the old expansions. Sure, you had the, you know, the attunement quest lines, which were kind of getting you from end game raiding. But until then, you didn't have a restriction in what you wanted to do. If you were level 5 and you wanted to level in the 50 zone, you could 15 zone. You could go there and slay some mobs if you can. But there was no real restrictions. That was the beauty of WoW Sandbox. It was an amazing world that they created with like potentially limitless options. Sure, some paths were better than the others, but you were not imposed to play that way. You could farm the dungeons again and again and again and again and again and again if that's what you wanted. And I think that kind of a freedom and range of options is missing, and it's kind of making people feel a little bit constrained. And obviously by them restricting things like this, they're implementing other stuff like, you know, like soft gating and things like that.
Yeah.
And although valor capping, for instance, because this is what we're talking about, first of all, valor capping has a reasonable logic, because otherwise you would just get mythic level raids, eye level items in the first couple of weeks, which is a little bit weird, because then what are you doing for the rest of the season? But that's not the problem. That problem exists because it exists. You shouldn't be fixed with another more annoying solution, which is capped valor. Change it. Change the loot eye levels. Change what kind of drops. Change how much it costs. Because for what you can see right now with Valor's, the Valor system, is that it has kind of like a two-pronged restriction. One, it's the cap. One is the eye level. Or three-pronged, because you also have the cost, right? So there's too many restrictions. Have one or have two, that's fine. You know, you cannot actually make everything free. But when you just add more and more and more and more, it becomes annoying. You cannot upgrade to whatever eye level you want. You cannot upgrade it to however many dungeons you do.
Just the small increments of stop here. Oh, you have to do this to get that. Then, oh my god, man, just stop.
I think these things weren't as obvious as much before as they were in Shadowlands, because we just had so many things. We had this and Torghast.
Yeah, 100%. But the actual news, because this is what we rambled about it. So why did we ramble about it? This is what they said. So Valor will be reset. Like, this is for season 4 launch.
Yeah, that's unexpected.
But won't have any caps during the season's duration. Oh my god, what a shock. Conquest will be reset with a higher weekly cap than previous seasons. The PvP conquest cap, very, very debatable on that side too. Then the thing is with the conquest points, they will be fully uncapped. After a number of weeks in the season. So those will also be uncapped. But traditionally, when it comes to like a new season of PvP, specifically arenas, people really tend to like get on the train. And if you're going to have people who are just going to play nonstop hardcore, like for the first couple of days of the season, they're pretty much going to get geared a lot faster, while other folks getting like maybe just 1 day or two after. The difference of the impact of the gear that Shadowlands has, especially in PvP now, is huge. So I'm understanding why this would be a thing. Somebody with two pieces of a higher item level beating up, I don't know, somebody that came in a little bit late with that has a 10 difference of item level, they're gonna get squashed, you know. And that's not like a happy experience. This discussion about, you know, PvP gear, it's been a long one since it's, like the inception of arenas, but it's still gonna be unkept after a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so
there are definitely issues with the PvP gear, although I believe it kind of has been improved slightly in Shadowlands as opposed to how it was in BFA, but the way they went about it made it so that in 9.0 it was pretty degenerate, where pretty much everybody was doing PvP, even top 10 top tier PvE players, and that kind of pulled a lot of people into the scene. But right now PvP isn't as predominant as PvE, clearly, let's be honest here. There's not as many people, and if they can just access all of that gear really quick, then if you have like a couple of new people chiming in, then they're just going to be faced by a big wall that you wouldn't probably see in PvE. Because if you start like 3 weeks into raiding, you're not just pumped into mythic right away. You can be normal, where your gear level won't put you so far back as it would be in PvP. And I'm still not a fan of capped, but I don't see any other solution to this unless they're like redesigning the entire PvP gearing system.
Here's an awesome idea I'm totally on board with, from the genius mind of Petko Dapchev. Do you think combining all currencies, Valor, Honor, etc., into one currency will benefit? Because I play mainly PvE content, it would be nice to be able to do some arenas and still progress my... I love that. Just have one currency that would be able to enable
Radical.
You to play.
Savage.
Is it that hard? I mean, listen, for the longest time, I hated the fact that we had a million different trillion currencies.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, you have to get this for
whatsoever.
This, and you have to get this for that, and then this for that, and home this for this. Fuck that. Just have
perfectly one. Articulated, man.
Don't you know? Do you want me to go back to BFA 8.3?
No, I mean, come on,
like,
man.
This, my bags, my Addy bags were like this with currency 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and everything.
But that's kind of how it was in 9.9.1 as well, when we worked on the patch guides.
Oh my god,
and
do
I realized,
you remember?
I remember, man, because I collected all those, like, oh my god, another currency. Oh, and another currency, and another currency. Oh, I get it. It's shit. However, I still don't see how they can make one currency work. Because we can look at a more basic example, which is gold, because it's one of the currencies that you use for pretty much anything outside. But then you have soul ash, and then you have soul cinders, and then you have whatever else, right? If gold was everything that you needed, then whales that are buying 5 long boys per day would just buy everything, right? So is that bad? I don't know. What we have right now isn't necessarily good either. I don't know how they can manage it. It would actually ironically imply some probably deeper economic knowledge to actually imply different currencies for different activities with different types of rewards and time investment and effort investment and all that kind of stuff to have a proper return that seemed appropriate to your time that you put in.
You say so, that, but I just feel like all of these different currencies are just made there to make you busy.
You can go to the like opposing extreme spectrum where you have like mobile games with like 10,000 currencies, which is obviously
this is what I'm saying. I mean, as a concept, having a universal currency like for PvE purchases and stuff, not actually involved into the WoW's economy with the auction house and all of that, that would be a huge undertaking, but I still feel it would be the right call, at least in terms of like accessibility for people, because the man had a very good point. There's still a lot of folks who only do PvE, but they're very afraid to step into PvP because, oh my god, I don't have the gear, I don't have the tools for it, right? Because in order to get there, I have to start doing the low level PvP, which again, at low level PvP, you're going to still have super geared people going to squash you. It's just going to be a bad experience. And vice versa, you want to have people who are into PvE. Oh, you don't have the jailer weapon? Well, I'm sorry, we cannot take you into the raid or whatever. How can a PvPer get that shit, right? It's
There's not enough transference between the
yeah, exactly.
The environments.
Very good word.
Transference.
Okay, that's a very good word.
And again, we talked about before about adding, you know, like gear specific for each content to make it feel like I'm not forced to do the content that I don't want, but gear specific for each content might actually create these problems further. So it's a very difficult balance that needs to be met, and maybe we can actually have a slight level of sympathy for the devs trying to actually nail this balance where they can satisfy multiple people most often at the opposing side of the spectrum, which is not easy, but it has to be done. I mean, this is the game. We're in 2022, 2023 soon, which is a modern era of gaming. A lot of the systems that WoW has are a little bit archaic, and we are seeing a change into modernizing the game. Obviously, in Dragonflight, we have the talents, we have the UI updates, which, I mean, the UI updates are pretty radical, considering that they're changing like almost a 20-year-old system.
All goddamn time.
So these are like maybe simpler things to start with, but we can only expect that they will come and go. And they're already starting changing the combat with like the charging up skills. That's never been a case before.
Yes.
So it's anything is possible right now. It's just probably going to have to be with baby steps. Not to mention, again, even though they've kind of done it before with the loot, with vendors, we are getting vendors again, specifically for season 4. Again, something that's kind of new. So it's looking good. It's looking good. There's a lot of changes that are coming up, so I just hope that, you know, they keep on doing this.
All of these that are to be announced for season 4 are some sort of like pathway into implementing stuff like permanently into the new expansion, right? So if things go well in season 4 and work out okay, I can totally see them being transferred. Maybe with maybe a little bit more restricted, maybe a little bit more grounded, who knows? But I can definitely see them doing that in Dragonflight, because that's what they said. They're doing this in order to have a proper testing ground to address Dragonflight and with its new features. And yeah, judging by the upgrades for the UI and all of the things we're seeing for season 4, it's definitely a new age of World of Warcraft moving forward to Dragonflight. Hopefully, you know, it's not going to be a humongous fuck-up-zoid.
Fuck-up-zoid, now that's a good word. That needs to be patented right away. Just to kind of close off the talk about currencies as well, there is something else we needed to address, which people that are actually playing now might have, you know, come into contact with. And myself, trying to play all of the alts right now, has hit this problem multiple times, and that is Cosmic Flux,
yeah.
Which definitely seems like it's a currency that they've kind of neglected. It's not as bad as shit that we had in Korthia, but it definitely becomes more obvious the more alts you play that Cosmic Flux is a rare commodity, where right now, pretty much starting with my third alt, I had to choose if I'm using Cosmic Flux to get my legendary to max, or if I'm using it to get my tier set, and obviously it's going to be my tier set, which means that pretty much none of my alts have 291 legendaries, because it's pretty much geared towards getting tier set. So they're going to be addressing Cosmic Flux availability in season 4 with not a lot of information, but
the speculation is, and based on what people were saying since 9.2 launch, basically make that shit account wide. It's that easy.
Because then you have like your main character with 100,000 anima, and that you have to like go to fucking vendor X to buy box Y and send it to alt Z.
Yeah, it's such a fucking mess.
Why not just have it account wide? Yeah, so hopefully we can, I don't know what they're doing, so they basically said, I can't speak to the exact implementation as it's still being decided, but we're going to be addressing Cosmic Flux availability when season 4 launches or shortly thereafter.
Yeah, the wording is very, very peculiar here.
It's vague.
Cosmic Flux availability. This doesn't tell me, hey, we're going to give you more Cosmic Flux. Availability translates to me as like, okay, this is going to be available to everybody. Everybody meaning all your tunes.
I mean, we can expect that either the...
Oh, look, even Wowhead says about account wide. So there you go. Yeah. A common request from Wowhead.
Yeah.
So this is pretty good.
My initially, like, a more realistic expectation is to increase the amount that you get from all the sources. Or to have, do you remember in Legion when we had the artifact power catch up where you just get more and more and more and more and more? So maybe there's a quest that you do, kill rare S, and now all your Cosmic Flux generation is going to be increased by 25% or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Which again, I don't know if that solves the problem, because that doesn't transfer to alts.
Have to go through the hurdles.
Yeah, and Cosmic Flux actually right now is not a particularly easy currency to farm, considering that also Torghast rewards it in very small amounts, which that might also could be bumped, because Torghast is such a so whatever you feel about Torghast, it rewards all of the currencies that you need for this patch, but in different amounts, just so that you can never match. You can get every soul ash that you need in like two runs, but you need two more for Cinders, and if you need the Cosmic Flux, you need 10 more as well, and then you end up spending all your Cosmic Flux and having like 10,000 soul ash remaining. So the discrepancy between the currency acquisition is a problem. It makes it weird. It makes it clunky. It's like, why am I doing it like this? Especially since Torghast was, the way it was designed for this patch, supposed to reward you with all the currency that you need. And it's not as bad as before, but if you're going to make a source of a currency, a source of currency be the one that I want to do, at least make it, you know, reliable, not make me have to do 20 runs of Torghast to upgrade a legendary. Come on.
And Torghast, we talked about it before. I mean, as much as of a potential it had, it becomes very boring, very fast. And if you want to get all of those currencies and be able to get your tunes at like a decent level, you're going to get burned out pretty fast.
Yeah,
so
pretty
it's
much.
not an elegant solution for it. Rounding up the news, I just want to put out there a subject, and this is going to involve the chat. So going to ask this. If we're just going to exclude raids and dungeons, what do you guys feel was the most successful feature or system or a gameplay element in World of Warcraft currently? Doesn't matter which expansion, whatever. I have a couple on my mind, but I'm curious what you guys and gals think. Like, what was the best thing in, well, apart from raids and dungeons? Again, there has to be something that was outside. Like, think about stuff like Torghast, you know, Mage Tower, you know, external gameplay loops that really were fun for you. I'm really curious
that you enjoyed doing when you didn't want to raid, because we definitely got a lot of comments on the casual versus the 1% when people just wanted stuff to do that wasn't just like high-end PvP or high-end PvE freedom. All right, that's okay. I mean, that's so something that you do freedom. I don't know.
Mage Tower, then when they introduced transmog solo challenges like Mage Tower, Warlock, Greenfire, solo vision.
Wasn't that like Horrific Visions from
I think the Visions Challenge Mode Dungeons for Weapons and Gear Transmog.
Yes.
World PvP. We'd love to see more class quests given Mage's Frostfire spell effects would be amazing. Class Hall stuff was fun. Pet Battles. Suramar was quite cool. Suramar, yes.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Transmog Artifact Weapons get unlocking. I can definitely see a vibe where we're going to clearly some solo challenges here and Transmog. So cosmetics, because I'm still going to read it through, but I think at some point the devs need to realize that getting a super legendary weapon is very cool. An epic weapon is cool. Whatever. It will bump up your numbers. You're going to be the beast on details.
Bees.
But I think what they have forgotten is the fact that most of us are like super personal and intimate with our characters in this game. And one of the things that grinds our gears is how we look. If they're gonna capitalize on that, because look, this just reading of it, I can see a million transmogs. Mage Tower gave you transmogs. Challenge mode gives you transmogs. Realistic alt progression, sure, that's also. But I think everybody can agree that in some way or capacity, having a nice gameplay loop that would just reward you with a ton of variation on cosmetics.
Relevant to the content that you do.
And listen, this would also address the last week's subject on casual versus hardcore. That is casual content. You can do a million different things and just be rewarded with cosmetic stuff and have that variety over there. But more, let's see more. So Transmog, more complicated BGs like Wintergrass. Yes, I agree. They have totally neglected Battlegrounds, man. Totally neglected. Secrets to get mounts and cosmetics. Again, resistance gear. doing old world rep farms. I love spell skins. Again, cosmetics. It involves a lot on how you can customize and personalize your character, and they
notice
really have
that
to nail the ground.
Pretty much nobody said anything about anything involving player power.
Oh yeah, of course.
Surprise, Blizzard, player power is not everything that we want, but player power is the only thing that seems to have been rewarded to us lately.
There was also, I can add in a couple of things. Maybe not everybody was playing during those times. Brawler's Guild was very nice and very cool, and I kind of loved that. I was mainly a PvPer, but that was something I really enjoyed doing. It was cool because it was like sort of like a Fight Club vibe. You ever do it?
I never caught it. Whenever it's still up. It still comes as a cycled event.
When they introduced it, it was one of the most amazing things. And I tell, man, how
oh, yeah, the concept is PvP? Nice.
But yeah, you had people on the top seeing you perform, you know, on your shit. At some point it got instance and it wasn't that much. But the feeling that you have, it's like sort of like when you're streaming and you're doing something and everybody's watching and everything. It's sort of like that, but within the game, because there's people over there just looking at you, finding the boss, maybe getting killed or whatever. It was pretty cool.
That was an interesting, definitely event that kind of added a dynamic to the social aspect and actually how you interacted with the world. I do want to point out something that the chat kind of nailed, but I haven't seen anybody say it yet. I actually enjoyed class campaigns in Legion.
Yep.
Because I feel, obviously, we're not gonna trash the Shadowlands lore and story one more time, but Suramar was a good experience, because with Suramar, what they did, occasionally you had like, you know, those little solo scenarios and missions. You obviously engaged in a story that developed and created a world around you. It developed the state of the city, it developed the state of the resistance until you actually assaulted Nighthold. That was amazing. And again, the class campaigns started with a story for each class and how that specific class got together in their own little order hall to like tackle the big threat, which was the Legion. And I think stories that have developed like that are missing from WoW. You can say that they're doing that with Covenant campaigns, but I mean, come on, man. It's one thing to put Covenant campaigns in for Covenants that nobody cares about. It's another to bring class campaigns for your Druid that you've been playing for 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm finally seeing all of the Tauren, Night Elves, Trolls, Druids, Scenarios, and all those things. That was like such a smart idea. Whoever thought about that was a genius, because you brought, not only did you make everybody playing that class feel
Steve
so awesome.
Steve the Loser was involved in that,
so he can do good shit. And basically, like, not only did you feel amazing as whatever you were playing, right? Seeing everybody, oh, these are all the Druids. This is my people, man. This is all the bears and the trees, and they're all here.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have if you're like a lore buff, you're like, oh, Scenarios and fucking High Lord, whatever, Rune Totem, the Tauren dude and stuff like that. It's like, that was really cool. That made WoW feel Warcrafty, right?
Yeah. So I think it was a very good match with also the theme of the expansion and how it all played out with the story and all of that. I mean, I can surely see something class specific being made into Dragonflight. However, I do feel that Dragonflight seems to be more themey.
Oh yeah, no, I don't mean to bring back class order halls. I mean to bring
class specific content.
Yeah, that's like quests, like actual RPG quests
that can actually mean something at the end. Because sure, it's cool to see, you know, the story, the elements of your class. Like you mentioned the Druid and seeing like BS totems and seeing bears and all of that. But like how the Green Fire quest is for warlocks and stuff. Like, give something that, you know, take some time to invest. But at the end of it, you know, apart from you getting all the eye candy and lore and whatever, you get something really cool. It's like, okay, this guy did his part on doing whatever the fuck questline or
all cosmetics, and it can run parallel to whatever the content is. It doesn't have to unlock raids or dungeons. It doesn't have to play into all of that. Like I said, Suramar is a good example. Class campaigns is a good example. Greenfire is also one. Covenant campaigns, by default, they're a good example, but nobody cares about Covenants and nobody cares about the story, not to mention the stories that were written were black.
It's external. It's something, this is what I'm saying. They need to capitalize on the intimacy a player has with his tunes. I mean, this is, I know it sounds stupid, I know, but there's a personal involvement over there which is not catered to enough. You can do your Covenant quest, but you're not really, it's not your representation. You've been playing your class or your classes for a couple of years. You have a different emotional investment into that shit, as opposed to, oh, hey, here are the Vampire Boys. Here are the cute little blue lightning fairies and stuff. You don't have the same involvement. I get it. They're washed up. It's not the same thing. Successes have been always tracked with these little bits and pieces of content where it would involve your class, your spec, or whatever, and get into it.
Yeah.
Fun activities like, you know, you will have on maybe on Mechagon or Suramar, or follow the story. Story was very great on Suramar, or the fun you had or challenge you had in Mage Tower, or the super secrets and fun activities you had on Timeless Isle. And there's a million different examples where you can see external content being done great, and also that paired up with some sort of content that addresses you as a player of this spec or class. This is what they've been missing for the longest time. So,
Lego wants more slot monks.
More slot monks. Of course, we love Lego, and
nothing surprising there. Yeah, so Isle of Thunder, Timeless Isles were good. Mechagon was fun. It had some activities. They weren't, you know, at the same level of fun, but it was something that you could do.
It was, yeah, man. Coming from the whole hurdle that we had prior to that, it was such a refreshing thing, because you didn't only have Mechagon, you also had Najatar. And yeah, it was a bounce between the two.
It was a lot of stuff to do that.
Very nice contrast.
I mean, if you take out Benthic gear, which was a pain for anybody who was trying to, you know, actually get, you know, progression out of their world content. Najatar was cool. You had, you know, the intricate mage puzzles and stuff. And Mechagon, you can just farm mounts and all that robotic stuff, which was cool. And it had nothing to do with progressing, except if you wanted to get flying. But outside of that, it was stuff that you could do. And even I, who I'm not a big fan of just farming mindless stuff, I ended up farming Mechagon for some mounts all the way up until the pre-patch of Shadowlands. So that kind of stuff is cool. Stories and quests that can evolve. What I mentioned about Covenant campaigns is that it's a story that runs parallel to the raid. It's just that it was a boring story. It didn't involve, like you said, you as a person too much. But they did try to put something extra. It wasn't.
You guys are just goddamn it, man. Of course, you're gonna mention the secrets lucid dream maze. Of course, the guys. Every patch, every type of content will have its flaws. Okay, I get it. But you have to, like, now we're looking at the grand scheme of things, right? Some are bad, some are good. But I'm talking about here more as a concept. I was balanced racials, all races have less racials, and even when they are useful, they feel boring, undead. Allied races have 5 to 6 racials and they feel good, like Vulpiro's Tent, extra backspace and extra heal ability. This is something that it's in a different spectrum of development, but sure, I kind of agree here. It's a discussion to be made whether racial abilities or passives or whatever, how much should they impact, you know, your gameplay. I think, like, it's a good point when they attack, like, the utility, you know, the convenience, sure.
That would be good, yeah. Straight up power is something, like, it's a little bit old, where you had orcs and trolls that have, you know, the racial that gives you a certain stat boost. I'm not too keen on that. For instance, I personally loved orcs being a little bit more resistant to stuns, torrents stunning, high mountains charging. So that kind of stuff is cool. And it's definitely, it's pretty obvious that in developing the allied races, they kind of went a little bit back and realized that maybe we're not putting as much love and customization into our actual races, which is why, I don't know in which patch they did it, but they added orc, for instance, customization night elves as well, where you can now have, like, leaves and shit in your stuff. So making races a little bit more unique, right? I don't know about the racials in terms of power, my man, because from how things are looking, considering how they want to increase accessibility and not make it so that a race is a wall or a restriction, it's unlikely that the player power racials will be addressed in any significant way, unless they just nerf the existing ones to match it.
It's just going to be adding even more things to be balanced out for the future. So I think Cesare had, like, a good point. I think that the utility aspect of it would go a longer way.
Yeah.
Just remove the power gain from it whatsoever and just make it more themed, where it would just be an element of convenience of, you know, this is good to have something.
Yeah.
I like
discounts for goblins. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I always been max for my classes. I mean, if you compare Magar Orcs and Mecha Gnomes, it's just insane. Mount speed versus stacking main stat and 3-minute failsafe with taunt. Yeah, this is what I was saying. So if they're going to go the route where they're going to put in on racial's power, and even if they're, like, small numbers, if you're going to min-max, like, you know, a lot of folks do, you are going to 100% see the differences, and it's just not, it's a racial, this shouldn't be that high of an impact. Plus the hurdle that they're gonna have to compensate for each and every other race to have some sort of power gain, which is, I mean, it's silly. Let's keep it up with 100% the talents as they would in Dragonflight, right? And the gear you're gonna get, that's it. Fuck it. Rest of the other stuff, this is why I opened this can of worm. Rest of the stuff should be either utilitary, good to have, or cosmetic. Mostly cosmetic, I would feel, and just address this a lot more, because again, the system-y,
what they did,
featurey. Yeah, go ahead.
So I think that what they're doing right now, but they're not doing enough of it. For instance, the Blood Elves quest line in Silver Moon, especially the Paladin ones. If you really get the Paladin set, that is stuff that I like to see. I've actually, and I think I've said this before, I've actually found myself falling in love with the game again once I went on my Blood Elf Paladin and Lady Liadrin called me in Silver Moon and I started to fight back the undead, and that felt like Warcraft again, man. That felt like, oh, I'm a Paladin, I'm using that the feeling. Light to burn. Yeah. It did send me to bash into Forge your weapon, but whatever.
I used
the power of the light to actually kill whatever leader of the undead that wouldn't die because he was undead and only with the power of the afterlife, whatever. But I felt like a Paladin, I felt like a Blood Elf, and I was rewarded. And I have a cosmetic that's only available, to my knowledge, for Blood Elf Paladins, which is cool. That's what I want. If I'm playing a Blood Elf Paladin, I want to feel like a Blood Elf Paladin. If I want to play an Orc, and that's, you know, the high mount, the Heritage Armor, that was good.
That was cool. Yes.
If they can do that more and put like some interesting story into it as well. Don't put the requirements of rep, right? But put like a story, like the Tauren one is really cool. You go into like all sorts of spiritual stuff and talking to ancestors and that. That was really fucking cool, man. Yeah. And you get the big fucking tree trunk on the back, which I've wanted since fucking vanilla, man. When you see that Tauren bear with a
that's
tree
the fantasy
trunk
of it, 100%. And they could, that, again, that's a realm of possibilities they can do for Orcs. I want to see that.
It's a missed opportunity.
To Orcs. Like, get some heritage armor for Orcs, like the old classic grunt style, but be really detailed and stuff.
I'm getting goosebumps, man.
I'm getting it. So there's a lot of opportunity, and I'm sure we're not reinventing the wheel here. I'm pretty sure in their meetings and stuff, they discussed about this. You know, it's all about, you know, getting everything on time and right and having the sufficient talent pool and work resources to do so. Hopefully with the 100 plus people from Proletariat, this could be a thing happening. We're just like laying out the ideas and chatting it with you guys, because again, we feel like, and hopefully the majority of you agree, you know, okay, systems, features, all of that, fixing problems with alts and whatever, but when the game feels boring, and it will eventually will, you're going to get bored of raiding, you're going to get bored of M+, going to get bored of arenas. What are you going to do? Not much, right?
Yeah,
and then you're going to have shit like Brawler's Guild or Mage Tower or the Suramar story, things like that. Or you can hop on a heritage quest for your orc or your night elf or, you know, the classic races and stuff. There's so much potential there, like class quests as Flame Mission, and there's a bunch of other folks mentioned class quests where you would go in and do a little bit of a story and get some nice cool cosmetic reward at the end. People were talking about, you know, implementing quests or gameplay loops where you would be able to change the colors or the effects of your spells. I think we talked about this.
Yeah, cosmetics for spells. Yeah,
cosmetics for spells and all of that. There's so much potential here, and I feel they're missing out on this, and this would be such a huge win. And I'm really, really sorry that we didn't talk about this in the Casuals versus Hardcore episode last week.
This is a
very good way.
This is part two. It's not like these things are foreign to them. And even with spell effects, we had them in BFA with the essences. Remember, if you got whatever,
you can upgrade them,
you can have the different spell effects. So it's definitely within the realms of possibility. And seeing how they're improving definitely on the aesthetics of the game in Dragonflight, because I'm still recalling those reveals, man, that Drakthyr, however much I don't particularly vibe with how the specs seem to look, how the specs seem to be designed.
The race looks silly.
We can talk about the race as well.
We will talk about the race effects.
We are seeing upgrades in terms of animation.
Well,
so,
hello, yes.
I mean, and it's nothing new, right? In, what was it? Warlords of Draenor, Warrior got a big bump to its spell effects. Not just Warrior, but Warrior, I was playing Warrior at the time, where Bladestorm was improved, Whirlwind. Like, when that happens, and just like an honest gamer opinion, when that happens, I actually play my Warrior because I liked Whirlwinding because it looks so
it looks cool.
Meaty.
Yes,
that's when I farmed my Apexis crystals and got the mount because I liked looking at the goddamn spell. So if I can do that with just like an upgrade, why wouldn't I actually work to obtain that?
For sure.
So yeah,
for sure. Petrum says there's another issue with these fund systems not tied to player power. They're often time gated. Depending on how much you have to put in, I don't really mind it that much. I prefer time gating on non-player power than on player power, just making you feel like you're a rat trapped over there. If the reward is there and if there's some sort of like logic and common sense behind this time gating, I can agree with that, okay? There's an argument to be made where you just cannot put out all the content available from day one. There has to be a pacing towards it. That's all I'm saying. However, they implement the time gating or how they want to address a specific situation or reward or finality of a story or whatever, that's on them. And they haven't done the greatest job on that. I'll grant you that. But some sort of like pacing has to occur. You just cannot have everything put up. Okay, there you go. Just,
well, yeah.
It's too much, man.
Didn't they do pacing where the most it felt reliable is usually with a story, relevant. With the story, and that's fine. But for instance, like heritage stuff was not gated at all unless you unlocked it or didn't unlock it. Once you started, you could just do it. It wasn't particularly gated in any way.
It's mostly there's a couple of, in terms of like, you know, how the covenants were, like the covenant campaign in 9.0.
No, that was a big flop. And also, when we're talking, just to cut you off really quick, when we're talking about the gating stuff, a lot of the gating stuff came because of the engagement metrics that they were looking towards, since it was very hard for them to you know, justify the profitability of WoW, considering so many players were dropping from the game. So they had to put these little carrots on the sticks to keep you logging in for 5 minutes each day, so they can say, oh, this person has been logged in for 2 more months, paid the subscription twice.
Yeah.
So a lot of the gating also kind of happened because of that, if you really pay attention to the game. And since this is slowly going away, this need to keep players in the game all the goddamn time, it's likely that the gating system will also be dialed down a bit.
Yeah, that's when we're talking about situations where you would not be involved on getting the, you know, Biss ring or whatever, time gating could have a logic. This is all I'm saying, right? If it's like super casual stuff and, you know, it has to have some sort of pacing. So all I'm saying, nothing else.
See you next week for episode number 2.
No, we're definitely on board with that. But just to round it all up here, definitely good news all around, especially for season 4. I think like the most hype we are is like for BlizzCon. If BlizzCon is coming back, and if they're announcing Starcraft 3 and Warcraft 4, I think I said Starcraft 4 at the beginning.
It's fine. Starcraft 3, guys. 4 and 3. I'm yeah, good.
All of
I'm
them
good,
at the baby. Same time. Shit. But that's got us super hypey. Definitely curious on more details that are to come. Confirmed for 2023. So 100%. I'm not going to get there. We're going to do our best to get there.
I mean, yeah, we're definitely going to want to get there. We'll see how things progress because it's still over a year away.
Yeah.
But if Dragonflight keeps on its track the way it is, with all the design, all the changes, all the feedback, all the communication, I'm so hesitant to say it, but it's looking like a good time to be a WoW player, man.
Yeah, hopefully. And no, we did not say this about Shadowlands. I know a lot of people said in the comments.
We're hyped, but
I remember, but I think we can even go back to some of our On Cooldown episodes from back then. We said, okay, this is looking good, but we are, you know, let's say cautiously optimistic. We always said this. We were not like giga hype for it. We're just, okay, it looks good now because everything kind of feels that, okay, they're putting everything on the table in terms of like player power. We talked about this a lot. So we had from the start all of that. But we didn't like super, we're like, oh, this is going to save WoW. Never said that. The feeling for Dragonflight is a little bit different, is a little bit more positive, a little bit more optimistic. I'll grant you that. If we are going to be wrong, we will be the first to admit it. But so far, so good.
You told us so in the video. Yeah.
Exactly. And also, like, just rounding it up, so Cosmic Flux availability is going to be addressed. We are kind of speculating that it's going to be made account-wide at some point in Season 4. Also, Season 4, there's going to be uncapped Valor right from the get-go. Once the season starts, you're not going to have caps on Valor. There's gonna be higher conquest cap, and after a couple of weeks, that shit is gonna be uncapped as well. There's also the vendor changes for season 4. So in order for you to get your targeted gear from the faded raids, you're gonna the requirements to kill the bosses and get those dinars, the currencies that you use to buy the gear, are gonna be lowered. So that's also nice. And also they're gonna be addressing catch up for that stuff, and those requirements are gonna be lowered even further as the season progresses. So it's, I would say, good news.
Yeah,
all around, positive. Not no doom and gloom.
It's,
nothing.
It's been a good couple of days. So obviously keeping our eyes open for anything new that pops up. Yeah. And pretty much we covered everything. Hope you guys enjoyed the stream. It was very fun and very exciting for once to actually talk about BlizzCon and actually positive changes.
It's been a long time.
To a lot of the things that we've been talking for years.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to see. Hope you guys enjoyed the talk. And if you've missed it, don't worry. If you just came into the stream, because I see you, Peter. I see you there. Mr. Demanded for just coming in. Good morning and good day,
good
guys.
Good morning.
We will have the most important topics chipped down.
Yeah, they're going to be videos made from out of them. And probably this whole chat will be on MoCast on Monday, because we don't have anything recorded this week. So this whole thing, the whole VOD, a little bit more edited and sound process, is going to be on the MoCast channel. Peace.
Shadowlands. I've been loving it then, I still love it now. Still, I play wild. Still, I play wild. Getting better every day, let me show you how. Cause still, I play wild. Still, I play wild. It's getting harder to stay, but at the end of the day, it's a guilty pleasure, so just log in and play. Whether it's classic or retail, I'ma do a slash bow. Still, I play wild.